Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning to hopefully study God's Word together in spirit and in truth and to learn something from His Word or remind ourselves from something from His Word this morning. I'm so glad that Jude had to read those verses from Ephesians chapter 6 in those first four verses about children obeying your parents. The lesson for this morning is going to be train up your child. Now, Annie yelled at me yesterday. She was cutting my hair. She said, now, I noticed that there was a big capital, all capitals on your. She's like, are you going to be yelling at me for trying to train up other people's kids? No, I'm not going to be yelling at you for that today. It's going to take a little bit of a different angle, I guess, this morning than that. It's going to be maybe a little bit, heavier hitting maybe in some cases, in some areas. There may be a lot of amens in the minds of some of the parents this morning for certain things. And then some of the kids may not like certain points. And then some of the kids may be amening in their minds some other points that the parents are saying, wait a minute, Tony, you're being a little bit hard on us here. I hope that everybody can get something out of the lesson this morning, even if you have no children or you're not a parent or you're not a child that's being raised under someone else's roof. Hopefully there's something for everyone in the lesson this morning. But the lesson is train up your child. And so let's take a moment to define a couple of terms here. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 is where we get the thought from this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. A lot of times, I think we read verses like this and we say, yes, right? That's right. You train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. But sometimes we forget that really what he means is train up your child, right? He's telling us as parents to train your children. And we like the general things, right? We like all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we say, amen. Everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God. That's true. It's very difficult to say, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when it comes back on us, when it comes to personal application to some of these verses, I believe that's where these hiccups maybe start. Yes, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he's not depart from it. But sometimes we'll say, but Tony, you don't know my child. You don't know how difficult they are. I don't. But that doesn't change God's command to you to train up your child in the way that they should go. Child in this Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, child is defined from infancy to adolescence. That's what this word child, and again, you know, sometimes we think of a child in you know, maybe different age ranges, and as long as you're under my house, you're under my roof, you're my child, you know, that may be, you know, 40 some years old sometimes, right? So, we think of it maybe in a little bit different mindset. I know that my mom is constantly saying, went to a wedding yesterday for one of my cousins that got married, and every person that, you know, came up and said, hey, Sheila, who's this? This is my baby, right? I dwarf her in many different ways, but this is my baby. And she will say, you'll always be my child. But that's not what we're talking about here. When he says train up a child, he's talking about this time period from infancy, from when they're first born to when they're adolescents. Why? Well, that's the easiest time to train them. If you wait until after adolescence and let them start getting into their teenage years before you try to start training them, guess what? They're done. They've already been trained. Even if you weren't training them, they're already trained. Train means to discipline or to dedicate. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 8, this is the exact same word that Solomon uses here, or is used, said about Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 63, as he's dedicating the temple, Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated or trained, as it's translated. It's the exact same word as Proverbs 22 and 6 when he says train up a child, dedicate a child. in the way that he should go. And so what Solomon is saying here, the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. It was for a specific purpose. So that's why when you go to Luke chapter 19, verses 45 and 46, when Jesus comes into the temple, comes into this house that's been dedicated to God, that's why he's so angry and overturns the money changers' tables, because it wasn't trained to do that. It wasn't dedicated to do what they were doing with it. That's why he becomes so angry. And so when he says train, he means dedicate, discipline your child in the way that he should go. Here's why. The world is trying to train your children for you. Do you know that the average smartphone age now, child to get a smartphone is 10. That's the average. Okay, the Barna Group does a lot of kind of religious surveys. Right? So the average age of a child getting a smartphone is 10. So when we gave our child one at 13, we were 3 years past the average. So what does that mean? Somebody got one at age 7 to make the average 10, right? Some children don't get it at age 10, but that's the average age that a child gets a smartphone. Is that bad? Not necessarily. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 95% of teens that were surveyed here say that they have unrestricted access. They either have their own phone or have unrestricted access to a phone with the internet. 95% of teenagers have a phone or have unrestricted access to a phone. Good or bad? It depends. Internet usage. About 20% of the kids start between ages 3 and 4. Paige can get on our computer and get to some of her educational websites. She's still 4. Okay? It's happening fast, right? Is that good or bad? It just depends, right? By the age of 10, we're at 50% or beyond. 50% of teenagers marked that they were constantly online, right? They had different, are you constantly online, online most of the time, a lot of time, a little bit of time? 50% of teens said that they were constantly online. The other 50% are probably liars. I don't know. They're constantly online. The average teenager, get this, spends 9 hours a day online. Again, that's the average. So if some are only getting a half hour or an hour, and the average is 9, guess what some of the other kids are? 15, 16. That's what they mean by constantly, right? They're constantly online. They're constantly on Facebook. But the average spends 9 hours a day online. Now, in this survey, the majority, well over 50% of the parents said, we are very aware of what our children are doing online. Same survey, 30% of the children agreed with that statement, that their parents were very aware of what they were doing online. There's a disconnect here, right? The average age now that a child is exposed to pornography is 11 years old. Now, that does not mean that a child got on there to look for it. But sometimes it just pops up. They're exposed to it at an average age of 11. That's bad. Right? So if you don't know how to handle the smartphone, and most of the time, it is through these smartphones now that the pornography is being viewed. And the highest group that's viewing pornography now are the ages of between junior high and college. The whole point is, if you are not training your children, someone else is. The world is trying to train your children for you. And if you're not careful, someone else is going to be training your child, and it's going to be very difficult once you find out these things, right? Maybe once you see it or once you figure it out, they may be long gone by that point in time, and it's going to be hard to change those things, right? So as I started researching some of this, I found another guy on a website that gave a lesson, and one of the things that he said was, I'm not here to tell you that there's danger in the internet. Anyone want to rebut that there's dangers on the internet? Okay, I'll continue then with the lesson that I have prepared. And so my thought was, you know what, I'll talk about the dangers of the internet, because that's something that we need to discuss. And this particular man said, there's really no need to discuss the danger. We all know that there's dangers. What do we do? What do we do about those dangers? How do we help our kids? And we may say, you know what, I'm just going to keep my kids away from it. Because the internet can be bad, those cell phones can be bad, I'm just going to completely keep my kids away from it. Is that the answer? Because money can be bad. You can say, I'm just going to teach my kids to stay completely away from money. Well, how are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to purchase anything? How are they going to support their family? How are they going to do anything if they don't have money? No, you teach them how to properly use those things. Cell phones aren't going away. Computers aren't going away. Right? We need to train our children properly to use them. So how do we discipline them? How do we instruct them in using those things? And that's what I want to spend the rest of the time on this morning. The first thing that I want you to do is talk about it. Talk about this usage with your children. What a lot of teens are looking at on their cell phones. Talk to your kids about it. Can it be uncomfortable? Yeah, it can. It can be odd. It can be awkward. To talk about things like, to talk about pornography, to talk about sex, it can be awkward. I'm not asking you to do it here in front of everybody, right? I'm asking you to do it at home with your children, in the privacy of your own home. But make them aware of it. Because you want to know where I learned about it? In fifth grade at school, right? Because it's an awkward conversation to have sometimes with your kids. And so the school system will, they're going to teach you. They're going to teach health classes about it, right? But we want our kids to know what we want them to know through God's Word about those topics and about those subjects. So a lot of parents handle it by avoiding it. But look at what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. As Moses is trying to get them into the promised land, starting in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hands and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." How many parents do you know that say, you know what, I haven't found the right time yet. Think about that. I haven't found the right time. Well, how often do they have their phones with them? How often are they on the internet? Because that's the right time, right? God says, when he's talking to the children of Israel about teaching your children about my precepts, hey, when you're sitting down at your house, it's a good time to bring it up. If you take your whole family for a walk, it's a good time to bring it up. When you lie down and get ready for bed, good time to bring it up. When you get up in the morning, it's a good time to bring it up. It's a good time to talk about it. We don't have to wait for, you know, we don't have to find the right time. The right time is all around us because the right time is now. And it's important because the hearts of our children are at risk. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, we're told, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." Why? "For from it flows the springs of life." Your life flows from your heart. And what you know, the internet and things like that are doing is attacking the heart of your children. We need to make sure that those hearts are pure and that we watch over them all the time. in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Cell phones aren't necessarily bad. The internet is not necessarily bad. Is 9 hours a day wise? Right? I'm not going to tell you what to regulate your children on you know, screen time or being on the internet. That's you. Can we all agree that 9 hours is too long? Right? I think we could probably all agree, if we're being honest, okay, 9 hours a day is too much. We can make better use of our time. Is it okay that they're on it for a little bit, barring we know what's going on? Sure. Absolutely. If they're looking at the right things and doing the right things, sure, no problem. That's okay. But can we agree that maybe there's something better that we can do with that time? You can learn a lot about a person from their online history on their computer. You can learn about a person, you know, a lot about a person by the time that they spend gaming or watching videos versus the time that they spend in their Bible. And it doesn't always even out, does it? What we need our children to understand that it's not just mom and dad that are watching you. We are watching you. We are trying to regulate these things, not just because we want to, but because somebody else is watching you. They need to know that it is God who is watching them. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths." And so God is constantly watching you, even if mom and dad aren't. Our kids need to understand that God knows what you're doing. He absolutely 100% knows what you are doing. Here's my suggestion to you this morning. Have the conversation with your kids. Talk about it. Talk about what they spend time on their phones or on the computer, on the internet. I know a lot of times, like, the computer that our kids use, and again, I'm not saying you have to do what we do, but the computer that our kids use is in our living room. Right? You can see it as soon as you walk through the door. So, yes, you can use it. Yes, you can get on the internet. Yes, there's some games that you can play. But we're going to be watching. We're going to be walking by. We're going to be seeing because it's in the living room for everybody to see. Have the conversation with your kids about the importance of what they're doing on their phones, what they're doing online, the games and the amount of time that they spend in them. Talk to them about it. I know, right, kids? It's a groaner. I'm sorry, but it's a conversation that we need to have. Here's my next suggestion. Make some rules. We need rules. Rules are a part of discipline. Right? Well, what kind of rules, Tony, are we supposed to make with our kids? Well, again, we've talked a little bit about it. 9 hours is too much, right? So there needs to be some time rules that are set. You know what will help parents? Unplug. I am just as guilty as anyone else. So it's okay. But it's got to stop. Right? We can show our children that we can unplug too. We don't need the phone all the time. I've told you the story before of the restaurant that we went to and the kids were talking and I looked over and there's this nice family saying a prayer so I shushed my kids. I said, "Shh, they're saying a prayer." Right? And I looked over again and everybody was just down texting away, all of them. And that's why I thought there was five or six people sitting at the table, and I thought they were saying a prayer. So I shushed my kids. I'm like, "Shh, they're saying a prayer." "No, sorry, they're all on their phones. It's okay. Just keep talking." Right? But if you go to a restaurant, look around, because that's what you see, isn't it? We went to a restaurant the other day, and the family that was sitting behind us, the adults were sitting there talking, but all of the kids had tablets sitting out and just not engaged in a conversation with their parents or their friends' parents or whatever, but just entertaining themselves. It's constant. We need to have some rules in our houses about what our kids are going to be doing online and how much time they're spending online. 9 hours a day is a lot. And so if we're going to regulate how much time our kids spend, the wise thing to do is replace that time with something else, right? Because your kids are going to go, I'm bored, right? Because that's what they do. And our first thing is, well, don't bug me, right? Go get your tablet, right? Go watch something on TV. Go get on the internet and play a game, right? Don't bug me. Don't bother me because I'm busy. No, replace that time with something that will benefit them spiritually. And again, we can't just say, I just won't get them one. And then I won't have to worry about it. No, we need to understand that time is there and it needs to be replaced with something. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And that's what we need to teach our children to do. Not that these things are necessarily bad. It's still going to be okay to play your games. It's still going to be okay to have your phone. However, you're going to learn to accurately handle it. Now, I know you're going to say, some of you are going to say, whoops, Tony, it's too late. The best time to start making these rules is before they get the phone, before they start on the internet, right? That's the best time to make the rules, because what happens is for birthday, for Christmas, I want this, I need this, I want this phone. Okay, we're going to get you a phone. However, will you abide by these rules if we do? Oh, yes, absolutely. That's typically what you'll get, because that's what they want, right? They want that phone and they're going to agree to those rules. So for those of you that have younger children, you're welcome. That's the easiest time to do it. Do it before they get it so that you don't have to rein them back afterwards. Well, not only do we need time rules, but I think we need place rules. Where are you when you're using it? Bedtime in the bedroom may not be the wisest place for those things to go on. When they're away from you or away from adult supervision. And here's my other suggestion. Don't just, as a mom and dad or as mom or as dad, go into your room and write down these rules and then come out and throw them at your kid's face. Let your kids help with the rules. Two reasons. Number one, typically, if you let them help, they're harder on themselves than you probably would be. A lot of times, their rules will be harder. We've done that before, and I can't exactly remember what it was, but we did this with Peyton, and we said, what do you think your punishment should be? And it was honestly something fairly minor, and it was like, you know, I probably shouldn't watch TV for 3 months. You know, like, okay, honey, you know, we'll be kinder than that, right? So they're typically harder on themselves, and they're going to be more likely to follow the rules if you allow them to help. That doesn't mean that they have final say and they get to make up all the rules, but let them help in making those rules and what they think. If they're caught using it improperly, what they think those punishments should be before it happens, as opposed to after it happens. Have the kids help you with those things. And then finally, be accountable to those rules. What happens when something pops up? Right? And let me just say, children and parents need to be accountable to those rules. Why do I say that? Because what happens, parents? Okay, this time is just a warning. No, the warning was the rule. Be accountable for those rules. Because if they get away with it the first time, they're going to try to get away with it the second time and see how far they can go. And we have to be careful with it. I'm telling you, parents, engage in this part of their lives. Look at their internet history. And if you know that your child has uninhibited access to the internet and you look at their history and it's blank, we have a problem, don't we? Why is it blank? You say, Tony, but that's just awful. You don't trust your kids. You ever heard this expression, trust but verify? I trust you guys 100%. And when I look at your internet history, I'm not expecting to find anything, but I am going to check it just to make sure. And we may say, well, don't they need some privacy, right? Don't kids have a right to some privacy? Let me just tell you that's a tool of Satan right there. This idea of a child has a right to privacy. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, going to the bathroom with them when they're 16 years old, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the use of their cell phones. I'm talking about the use of the internet, the use of the gaming systems that they have, right? If you're under 17, you don't have a job, you're not making any payments, sorry, kids, you have no rights. If your company gives you a phone, a cell phone, which I've had before, when I worked at the bank, you know, may have a bank phone, guess what they get to do anytime they want? Come and get my phone and look at it. See where I've been. See who I've called, who I've texted through that phone. They can do that anytime they want. Why? Because, yes, I'm working for them. I'm not making any of the payments, so I have no rights when it comes to that phone. They could come in and check my work computer anytime that they wanted. In fact, they did at the home office. They looked through those things every single month. And yes, some people got fired because of what was on their work computer. But it wasn't their right to privacy. Listen, mom and dad have the right. But what they also have is the responsibility to do it. Not just the right to do it. The responsibility to do it. And that battle begins early, when they're young, not later, because it becomes much more difficult later. Finally, again, as we talked about earlier, we talked about replacing some of that time that we've been using for other things, right? I want you to understand that the battle is just, it's much larger than just the teen years. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a lifelong battle that we're talking about here. It just begins when they're very young. Teach them how to communicate with God. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, he tells us to devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keep or devote yourselves to prayer. Now, that communication between your child and God, or between you and God, is to and from. So not only are we teaching them how to pray and how to communicate with God, but we're also teaching them how to allow God to communicate with them through His Word. Another thing that we can do is to help them develop good friendships. You know, I teased Jude about having to read those verses about obeying your parents, but you know what? I'm glad he's here so that he can be friends with my son. Truly. It means a lot. We need to lead our children toward good friendships. It doesn't have to be a lot, right? You can ask me, say, hey, Tony, how many people do you still talk to from your old high school, where you went to high school with? There's three. I had a lot more friends than that, and I don't talk to them all that often. And there's another one that I talk to fairly often that I didn't go to high school with. He just graduated the same year from a different school. Not very many. I don't need all that many. One of my best friends, I tell people, graduated high school with my dad. One of the best friends I have in this world. and he graduated high school with my dad. I tease him a lot, tell him he's like a grandfather to me quite often, but he's one of the best friends I have in this world. I would do anything for him. He would do anything for me. I don't care how old he is. I don't care that he's not my age. It doesn't matter. He is a good friend. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnerships have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" At some point, their relationship with God is going to be the only thing that's going to matter to you. Now, that may not be right now. And in high school, you may want them to be popular and you want them to be cool and you want them to have a ton of friends. But I promise you at some point that the only thing that is going to matter to you is their relationship with God. But that has to start now by building good relationships with others. It's going to help. Because 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 tells us, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." You can teach them all you want. You can teach them the right things. But that if they don't have good friends or know how to find good friends when they get to college or when they get out of college, then those things will go by the wayside. We need to teach them in building good habits that the closer you are to God, the harder it will be to do evil. If you are close to God, it's going to be difficult for you to sin against God because God is always there. We've looked at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21 already. "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths." We talk about a husband and wife relationship as being a triangle with the husband at one end of the base and the wife at the other end of the base and God at the top. And the closer that you get, each of you gets to God, the closer that you're going to get to each other. Guess what we can do with parents and children and God? Parents and stick together, parents. Run that ladder together. But as you teach your children to get closer to God and you get closer to God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get closer to your children. As parents in here, and you don't have to show hands, how many of you want to be friends with your kids? I do. But not yet. Not yet. See, there comes a point in time when you can be friends with your children. Right? Now, my mom has a hard time shutting that off, still. But we've become more friendly. My dad and I are better friends than we have, probably because I don't use his stuff anymore and waste a bunch of it and break a bunch of it. We're closer now than we have ever been in our entire lives. But there was some training that was involved to get us to that point. Now mom can trust me. Right, to go on a vacation by myself with my family and know that, you know what, I'm going to be attending services and I'm not going to make any mistakes that's going to look bad on her. She can be my friend now. I want to be friends with my children someday. It's just not today. I need to be their dad today. That same friend that I was telling you about that graduated with my dad, his son came to him once at probably, he was college age. He was probably 23 years old at the time. And he came up to his dad and he patted him on the back. And he said, "Hey, buddy." And his dad, somewhat jokingly and somewhat not jokingly, said, "Son, I'm your dad. I will never be your buddy." I think he meant it in some ways. And I think in other ways he was being a little bit jovial. But he still at that time felt a responsibility to continue to raise and train his son, even though he was 20-some years old and in college. That time will come. But if you start out trying to be your child's best friend, guess what it's going to be difficult to do later if they develop habits that you don't like? It's going to be hard to say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm not your friend right now. I need to be your mom. I need to be your dad." it starts early. And if you raise them the way that they're supposed to be raised, if you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if you train a child in the way he should go, it says when they're old, you don't have to keep after them. When they're old, they won't depart from it. They'll stay true to who they need to be. And at that point, as a parent, you can take a deep breath and say, I did it. Now I can be more of their friend. But I will say, I can call either of my parents right now and say, I need money. And if they have it, they'll give it to me because they're still my mom and dad. They're still there for me. They'll still help me. I still call for advice quite often. In fact, I'll probably call my dad today or tomorrow and say, I need help with some plumbing. And he'll come. I have no doubt. But it starts early. Another lesson, come and gone. The question for us is, what happens when you go home? What happens when we go home? Are we going to have a talk with our kids? Or are we going to have a talk with ourselves? Maybe as a husband and wife, or maybe as somebody that doesn't have any children or is not under the direction of it, but say, am I using these things properly? Not just as a child or as a kid. I don't necessarily mean to pick on kids today. But do I need this talk with myself? Are we going to have that conversation? Are we going to make those rules? It's going to be difficult to do if we haven't already done it. But are we going to make those rules not only for our children, but for ourselves? And are we going to try to build those good habits, not only for our children, but for ourselves? Train up a child. I want you to understand that this is not a generic statement. That God is telling you to train up your children. You need to train them, to teach them, to guide them, to discipline them in the instructions of God. And again, discipline, when he's talking about discipline, our minds sometimes always go to spanking, right? But that's not, it can include that for sure. That's not just what discipline means. There are other things that you can do. Yes, there came a point in time when my mother could no longer spank me, not because she didn't have the right to, but it just didn't hurt anymore, not enough. But guess what she could do? No, you can't take my car. Ooh, those are powerful little keys that she had in her hand. It can make me do a lot of things when I wanted to do something. Right? There's still ways to discipline, even though it may not necessarily be spanking, but he is telling you to train up your children. Are we going to be willing to make the necessary changes in our own lives? Maybe you're not a child of God and you need to become a child of God. You can do that this very morning by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I know we haven't talked a lot about that. We've talked a lot about responsibilities between parents and children. But understand the whole goal is to get us closer to God. Whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we've got kids, whether we don't, the goal is to become closer to God. And this is the first step in becoming closer to God, is to become a child of His. Or maybe you're trying to remain a child of God, and it can be difficult in this world and in this life to remain a child of God. If you're trying to remain a child of God and maybe have slipped up on some of these things, you have time and opportunity to make those things right this morning. Maybe you've not done some of the things that we've talked about and don't necessarily feel like it's sinful in your life, but you'd like to start doing some of those things and just need help, need prayer, need guidance. We're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. We should pray for each other's kids all the time anyway. We're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. If we can assist you in any way, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.